for that matter, some of the stuff in your house, chances are they're made in China. Asia's economic powerhouse now exports four times as much to Canada as we do to China. Facts like that are coming under the microscope today as Prime Minister Jean Chrétien meets with Chinese leaders in Beijing. But with every other country looking for a piece of the world's largest market, how can Canada make inroads? Charles Burton is a professor specializing in China at Brock University. He's also a former economic and political advisor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. And he joins us on the line from St. Catharines, Ontario. Good afternoon, Professor Burton.
Hi.
Now, China makes a lot of stuff. What can we offer them in terms of trade?
Well, we're pretty strong in financial services and insurance services. And, you know, those areas are something that would redress the balance significantly if we can get the Chinese to agree to open up their market to us. The Prime Minister today in Beijing promoted the opening of Manulife and Sun Life to sell insurance in the Beijing area. And so that'll be a good thing for us, but we wish that the Chinese would allow us to get into more more financial services and insurance services. They want to protect their own industries, which are relatively weak and won't compete well against ours. And then there are other areas that Canada traditionally has a good advantage in, agricultural commodities, you know, wood, pulp and paper, wheat, potash. We make good subway cars, telecommunications equipment, and some of the specialized sort of stuff like mining equipment that that Canada uses up in your part of the country that can be sold to areas of China which have comparable conditions. So, you know, there are things that we could be selling to them.
Mm-hmm. So why do we have such a hard time establishing our businesses in China?
Well, I think that it's two factors. One is the Chinese side, you know, trying to protect themselves. And the other is that our firms lack what you might call corporate courage. You know, when they're thinking of doing business abroad, they're more inclined to think of the United States or places that are more culturally compatible with us, as you might say. And they tend to think less about going to a place with a foreign language and a foreign culture like China. And there are also concerns about the political system. But I think that those concerns are not as valid as they used to be. China has entered into the World Trade Organization, and Canadian firms have a better assurance that they're going to get a fair playing field and some protections if they feel that they're not being treated properly. And so I think that you know, this is a time for Canada to get into that market and try and redress the sales imbalance and bring about prosperity and employment in our country through trade with China.
Mm-hmm. Does the fact that they are a communist country make it any harder for our businesses?
Well, it certainly, you know, it's a difficult environment. There's no downplaying it. And in the past, you have had the problem of local authorities demanding bribes from Canadian companies or closing them right down if they're not happy with the idea that Chinese profits are being sent back to Canada. But this is less and less the case, and particularly in the larger coastal cities where you've got a fairly large and growing, what you might call middle class, people who are property owning. This proportion of the Chinese population of 1.4 billion is probably around 200 million or so people. And in those areas, they've created an environment which is pretty good for foreign investment and trade. And so, you know, it's certainly a factor. The political system is certainly a factor, and the problem of lack of rule of law and corruption is certainly something that you have to think about. But I think that these factors are not as significant as they might have been a few years ago. And then the benefits of getting into that market are potentially so huge that it's really a place that we shouldn't be letting pass by us.
Mm-hmm. So I guess having said that, what is the what does the visit by Jean Chrétien, what do you think that will achieve?
Well, I think that it certainly helps get things going. You know, this insurance deal that went through has been negotiated by our government in China for a long time, and the fact that the Prime Minister was appearing on the spot with the file under his arm and would be raising it with senior Chinese officials would have focused the attention of the Chinese ministries to come through and do the right thing and give us the access that we really deserve. And so I think that the Prime Minister's visit helps break down a lot of red tape and barriers and gives us a profile. And I think on the whole, it's a very good thing that he goes. And he goes to China quite a lot, about once a year, I think, and they know him and they seem to like and trust him, and I think that's a good thing for Canadian interests there.
Mm-hmm. Is there some assistance or, I guess, aside from encouragement that the Canadian government gives to businesses that want to establish themselves there?
Well, you know, we have our embassy in Beijing, and we have consulates in Canton, Shanghai, and Chongqing. And those consulates have people who work in the trade section, and their role is to try and make things easier for Canadians and help them with advice on how they can get into the market. But, you know, we don't have enough people really there on the ground to provide enough services for everyone who needs it. But there are some private sector initiatives like the Canada-China Business Council, which is a consortium of businesses that provides similar sorts of services in helping firms that want to explore the China option. But I think our government could be much more aggressive in putting resources into facilitating trade in this area, and I hope that that given time that we'll become a bit stronger in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Now, the United States has a strong economic relationship with China. What does the strength of that relationship have on the chances of us developing our bond with China?
Well, you know, the United States is a very important country in the world, and I think if the U.S. president shows up with the same files as Mr. Chrétien, or if their embassy goes in to see people in ministries because they have concerns about business opportunities not being extended to their companies, their country's firms fairly, that they have more clout, you know, and a relatively smaller power like Canada doesn't have quite the entree that the United States has. But that being said, I think it's really the best product at the best price that's going to win the contract. The economic factors are the most important in this kind of thing. And so if we can encourage Canadians to go out there and pursue those markets, then we'll be able to get the deals.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm wondering about the future for China. Do you think they're basically guaranteed to overtake the U.S. as far as economic terms?
Well, I think, you know, the trends are certainly there, and it is a country where 24% of the people on the planet live. And so, you know, they only need a little bit of economic growth to have a lot of relative power. So we expect that China will become the world's dominant economy by about 2025. And all things being equal, I think they're going to achieve that. And, you know, more power to them. I don't feel it's a threatening thing. If they have a more a stronger economy and more consumers, then there'll be more people able to buy Canadian products. So that's got to be good for the global economy as a whole.
Yes. Well, Professor Burton, thank you very much for talking to me today.
It's been great talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Charles Burton is a former advisor in economic and political affairs at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He also specializes in China at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario.